Where's that going now?
Good morning. Meeting we started, dedicated meeting opened. Yeah, we've got a couple of apologies. Advocate Masuta, Advocate Smith, and Dean Smart, but Dr. Lotrit is here for them, on behalf of DA. I don't know which Mr. Swart is this, or is here now. Mr. Ntapane, Prince Zulu, Mr. Chane, and Ms. McKenyan. Those are the apologies we have. I think honourable members, you've got the agenda in front of you. Any proposals to the adoption of the agenda, or any exclusion or inclusion to the agenda? Silence means consent. So there's none. Adoption. Chinese proposed adoption. Any second of the adoption of the minute? Agenda. Meso Sibo. Honorable Sibo. Okay. Honorable members, we've got 10 minutes that were not adopted. Can you look at the minutes of the previous meeting? The minutes of the 18th of March. From the table, honorable members, can you look at the minutes of the 12th of November? If you remember well, there was that section that needed to be changed on page 6 of the minutes of the 12th of November. We discussed the minutes, but on page 6, under the submission by Human Rights Office and a project abroad, the second sentence, we needed to change just the word value to vague. It was too vague, yeah. Needed to change the name value because he didn't give a meaning. Can we first deal with that? On page 6 of the minutes of the 12th of November. Yeah, under the project abroad. Those were the 2010 submissions. Yeah, it's a submission by Human Rights. Yeah, submission 5. No, submission 5, Human Rights Community Project Report.
Submission by the Human Rights Office Project Abroad. There's the second sentence written in bold. In the previous minutes, it was not properly captured. So that's why I think they were not adopted. So the secretary had to go and check her notes to find out what exactly was supposed to be stated in that. So this is the way it is now. It does seem to make sense. Agreed. Are we still lost or what?
No, we're there.
Okay, agreed, members. Can go to the minutes of the 18th of March. Mm-hmm. The minutes of the 18th of March. Any correction?
Page 1. N1 indicated as having been present when they were not. Or absent when they were present. Page 2. Any correction? Page 3. Then when did we get these minutes? We've always had them with us, right? They've been with us, these minutes. Except Master Smith.
Page 2.
Page 2.
African National Congress, NA. I think that is NCOP. The first line, page 2. National Assembly, and there is National Assembly.
Yeah.
That's right. I think it's NCOP.
Very, very clever, very sharp. Wide awake, certainly in the morning. No, I think
it's not for us to correct.
The abbreviation of African National Congress should be ANC if you look at. No, I'm serious. If you look at all the parties, it says ACDP and COPE. So it should actually just be ANC.
And then on the first page, the same mistake. African National Congress.
Yeah, NA. Unless the ANC has changed its name, which is always possible.
To the National...
National
African. National African.
Let's be consistent. Add the abbreviation.
Details of the invitation for South Africa to become a member of the Venice Commission be forwarded to the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, as well as clarity on South Africa's status in the Commission. for that the amendments that suggested should be incorporated in the report. 5, that in future the committee secretary should highlight the amendments that were proposed on the report for easy reference to member. I thought we needed to pay particular attention to this, as I say, because we'll be going to at Venice report.
So I just want to refer you to that item 3, that the last part of that, as well as clarity. Are we seeking clarity? That item 3, that the details of the invitation to become a member be forwarded to the department, as well as clarity. What do we mean by that? Are we seeking clarity as to our position? I would presume that's what we intended, that we were asking, what is it? Are we, and in other words, we need to ask them as to clarity, or are we stating a position? Are you with me? We just need to put a verb there as well. The details of the invitation be referred to. What do you mean by as well as clarity?
Oh, yeah.
Asking them for clarity.
Yeah, actually, you are asking for clarity why South Africa was not a full member of the Venice Commission because you were there on special delegates.
Then I suggest we put in the word seeking, as well as seeking, after, as well as seeking clarity on South Africa's status in the commission.
From the international,
from the Department of International Relations.
As a matter arising on this point, do we have a copy of this correspondence? I mean, I think we may want to take a look at it before it goes out, as well as the amendment referred in sub 4. Copy of the correspondence referred to in sub 3.
No, we haven't written that letter as yet. The letter has not been written as yet to the Department of International Relations and Cooperation.
Yeah, I don't mind being a scribe. I can do that.
You'll just confirm my status.
Anabro is volunteering to write a letter to be a scribe. Are we agreed? The draft for us, and then they will come to the committee and agree.
South Africa's status is here with concern.
Honor Bloom? Agreed. Any other matters arising?
I don't have which one.
Anybody moving for the adoption of the minute? And our son? Any second? Oh. Record. Okay, can go to the next issue then of the Venice report. I think we've gone through the report a couple of times. Perhaps members can concentrate on the issues that we need to be rectified.
Let's go straight to the highlighted parts which were referred to in the minutes, and that is on page 2. And the terms of reference, those are the additional terms of reference that the committee has wanted to be included to check the different procedures which other member states follow when amending their constitution. And to establish whether there were African countries which were members of the Venice Commission. Does it capture what you wanted to be captured in the last meeting, members? Thank you. Then the next one was on page 4, referring to the European Court of Human Rights. In addition, the CRC met with Mr. O'Boyle, the Registrar of the European Court of Human Rights. He addressed the Committee on the European Convention on Human Rights and its importance in the protection of human rights and fundamental freedoms in Europe. Furthermore, he updated the committee on the establishment and activities of the European Court of Human Rights. I think we should delete that
bracket.
Information was given on the composition of the court, practice and procedure in relation to lodging applications, registration and processing of cases, legal representation, publicity and access to information, relationship with other courts, as well as the execution of judgments. The committee was also informed about the role of the registry in the adjudication of cases lodged by individuals and how the court dealt with backlogs.
Chair, I raised this previously as an omission, and I'm satisfied with the paragraph inserted, but I see we didn't include the reference to Makoshi having a picture in the court, but I don't know whether that's suitable. No, I'm happy with that clause. Thank you very much.
What do you say?
Well,
do you want to say something, or are you just proposing adoption also?
Mm.
Seconding?
I'm seconding.
The report is duly and unanimously adopted. Briefing by the legal advisor on Sipedi and Sipuki Kanduwa. Yeah, there were quite a number of documents that were given out to members, bulky documents. And I knew that it would be difficult for members to go through all of those documents. And I had requested that the researcher and legal advisors pick out the relevant parts of those documents and advise us accordingly. And which document will you be using? The this one. Legal opinion, you have that document?
Good morning to the Honourable Chairs and Members. As Chairperson just said, I've been asked to draft an opinion regarding the designation of Sipedi and Sesotho Salebowa. I've been asked to deal with specific issues, and opinion is confined to this. Firstly, I was asked to look at the rights of languages under the interim constitution, the final constitution, to analyze any relevant court decisions and track information from the Constitutional Assembly's decision to adopt the designation of the particular language in question. I'm going to go briefly through it because much of it is captured in the document. Under the interim constitution, language rights were captured in Section 3. The official languages were Afrikaans, English, Ndebele, Sesotho, Salebowa, Sesotho, Siswati, Sisonga, Setswana, Sivenda, Isikosa, and Isizulu. What must be noted is that under the interim constitution, Sesotho Salebowa was designated as the official language and not Sipedi. Section 3 set out various duties on the state and the consequences stemming from the official languages. The interim constitution also provided various protections for rights under Chapter 3. Under the final constitution, in terms of drafting the final constitution, the Constitutional Assembly was bound by the constitutional principles, and the relevant constitutional principle relating to language was Constitutional Principle 11, which stated that diversity of language and culture shall be adhered to by the legislative organs at all levels of government. Under the final constitution, the official languages, with as with the interim constitution, the difference being that Sepedi was now designated an official language instead of Sesotho Salebowa. Section 6 sets out various rights or various duties of the state in terms of official languages. Section 6 places a special emphasis on promoting indigenous languages. Section 6.3 allows for regional variations of the official languages. So in a particular province, that province has the right to choose at least two official languages for the business of government. Relevant to this issue is that the province of Limpopo passed the Limpopo Province Act, which recognized Sepedi as its official language for that province. Section 6.4 speaks about national government and provincial legislatures taking measures to monitor the implementation of official languages, and Section 6.5 establishes the Pan-African Language Board, which aim is to promote and protect languages. Under the final constitution, the Bill of Rights provides various protection for languages. Firstly, Section 9, 3, and 4 prevents the discrimination on the basis of language. Section 30 provides that everyone has a right to speak the language of their choice. And Section 31.1 provides that a person belonging to a linguistic community may not be denied the right to speak the language and form linguistic associations. However, these rights may only be done if they do not contravene the, may only be practiced if they do not contravene the Section 36 of the Limitations Clause and any other section in the Bill of Rights. Further, Section 29.2 provides that a person has a right to an education in the language of the choice where this is practical. Also, Section 35, while not necessarily protecting languages, allows for an accused person to have a trial in the have the trial interpreted in the language of their choice. Okay. So basically, Section 6 of the Constitution deals with the status of official languages, while the Bill of Rights protects all languages in South Africa. The issue that arises, what are the consequences of designating an official language? From various commentators, it's clear that there is no definition of what an official language is. A certain commentator comments that an official language is usually understood to mean a language used in the business of government, which is legislative, executive, and judicial. No immediate or practical consequences follow from the mere declaration of a language as an official language. Legal content is given to an official language through policy and through regulations. So in effect, what will happen is only when, while a language may have the status of being an official language, it's only through policy and implementation that this language is used as an official language and becomes the language of government. So in effect, what will happen is that the language could be used in a court of law, in the communication of government, on public notices, in government reports. So it's also commented that the fact that a language has a status, this refers to its legal position as opposed to the rights of the users. So because a language has an official status, the speakers of this language do not acquire any additional rights as to any other person in South Africa. The Bill of Rights protects all languages on an equal basis. In the certification judgment, the court noted this and said that the aim of Section 6 was to ensure linguistic diversity, while Section 30 protected the rights of all communities in South Africa. So the difference between the status of the language and the rights must be noted. As I said, designating an official language merely is a practical thing that government does to ensure that it is able to communicate with its citizens. It ensures that citizens know which languages they were able to also communicate with government. It ensures that official documents can reach a diverse number of people. It would obviously be impractical to have all languages, have all government documents in the languages of all South Africans. Now, coming to this issue at hand, is there a way for any community to compel Parliament to recognize their language as an official language? If you look at the certification judgment, during the process, a group of people objected to the fact that Indian language was not recognized as an official language, and the court made clear that granting an official status of the official language status is solely the responsibility of the Constitutional Assembly at that time. Stemming from that, it's clear that this responsibility solely rests with Parliament. We tried to track as the reasons as to why the Constitutional Assembly decided to change from Sipedi to Sesotho Salebowa. I think the researcher and the library tried to track the minutes and myself, and we were unable to come with the reasons. There's nothing listed in the minutes of the Constitutional Assembly, which is quite unfortunate. So basically, in conclusion, it's clear that there's no the rights or any thing that results from designating an official language as such. It's for Parliament to take in, to make a decision as to whether it's practical, whether it's reflective of society, and decide accordingly. Thank you.
We see a couple of hands. That is members. can we have Honorable Ambrosini, Honorable Swart?
Mr. Chairman, through you, thank you to the law advisor for the restatement of the law. The question that we were struggling with, as I recollected, which was the question raised by the Honorable Swartz and another couple of members, was if we decide that the indication of in the present constitution is for any reason to be changed, what happened to the existing official language? Can we declassify it? And I think that was the issue. From what one raises from here, I think that there is confirmation of the notion that the Constitution gives, the Constitution takes. So there aren't really vested rights under the Constitution, which was the issue raised, because the constitutionally speaking, the Constitution is the only parameter of constitutionality. So once that changes, there is nothing else which can grant rights, as therefore there cannot be vested rights under anything but the Constitution. If the Constitution changes, the right is divested. So the Constitution takes, the Constitution gives, the Constitution takes. However, there are the principles of the Constitution, which the legal advisor referred to. Under those principles, which is the of enjoying, the maintaining status one, each community enjoying, as a matter of constitutional policy, in implementing those principles, it might not be the right thing for us to do to declassify something which had been rightly or wrongly elevated to the status of an official language. It is not within, it wouldn't make it unconstitutional, but because a constitutional amendment cannot be unconstitutional, but it wouldn't be within the grain of the Constitution on that which has been done until now. So this is my reading of the issue which was before us, number one. Number two, I've done some of my own research in on memory lane, speaking to those who were involved at the time, Lionel and Charlie, Peter Smith, in this issue. Our collective understanding, just from our party, is that there was no intention to change what was designated in the interim constitution. And rightly or wrongly, there was just an intention of changing what were English designation into African language designation. So it was an error where the word was changed with the intention of not changing the meaning, and it resulted into the changing of the meaning. That is the reading from a group of participants, which per se is not controlling, but it's our corporate memory.
Honorable Swartz, let me just say that we invited the legal advisor to give us this background. We are not of an intention to take a decision today, but if the meeting feels so, ultimately adapted to that. But it was not the intention to take a decision today. Honorable Swartz.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the opinion. I concur with my colleague from the IFP as to his constitutional interpretation. The opinion is helpful, but what it doesn't deal with is the issue of the translation of the languages. And I think that is the key, that in the English version, we've got Sepedi referred to. In all the other versions, we've got Sesotho Sa Leboa. And that is why it is an important aspect. And in fact, the crux of a legal opinion should relate to an error that Dr. Ambrosini has referred to, the error in the translation and the impact that that has. So I think that I tend to agree with him that, and we're not taking decisions now, we're just discussing this, whilst the opinion is helpful. But there are two aspects here that I would like to differ with, and that is on page 3, paragraph 8, where it says Sesotho Sa Leboa was no longer designated as an official language and was replaced by Sepedi. Now, that was in the English version, but all the other versions retain Sesotho Sa Leboa. So I think it's not correct to say that Sesotho Sa Leboa was no longer designated. It was only designated so in the English language. But what might assist the legal advisor's argument on that score is that there's a clause, I don't have my constitution with me now, that says the English translation is the definitive translation. So on that basis, she might be right. But it excludes the fact that in the other translations, Sesotho Sa Leboa is contained and is there and has therefore a vested right. And I think that is something that we need to be very mindful of when we are considering that basically it's an error that took place in the translations, and that is what we need to deal with. And I'll just comment briefly what my suggestion was last time, was to add the translations on both sides. You're not taking away from anyone. In the English version, you're adding Sesotho Sa Leboa to Sepedi, and in the other translations, you would add Sepedi. And that is a possible way forward. You're not taking away, you're vesting the rights to both languages. That is just something for us to deliberate on. Thank you, Chair.
On the speaker's list, I've got now Honorable Swate, Honorable Mnube, Orenov, Kwame, and then Ambrosini.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is only to speak on Sepedi and Sesotho Sa Leboa, and I've heard the legal person was actually referring that to have an official language according to the constitution is not actually that huge thing, but with regard to the people on the ground, it is a huge thing because Sepedi is part of Sesotho Sa Leboa. That's why this is confusing people. That's why the interim constitution, they actually recognized Sesotho Sa Leboa. Thereafter, the Limpopo legislature changed it to Sepedi. So that's where the problem is. So I think that needs to be corrected. Because it caused a problem, because this actually goes straight to the issue of the traditional leaders and all those other things. If you put King Sekhukhune to be the leader of the Bapedi tribe and you put the language in Sepedi, and all those who are not Sepedi speaking people, they are speaking like Selubedu, and those who are speaking Sipulana, then they start to feel offended in that regard. So that's where the problem is. I should think maybe the legal people need to also to help us in that regard. Otherwise, it's going to cause serious confusion. Thank you. Honorable Mnube.
Now, Honorable Chairperson, I think I'm covered most of the things. To say, whilst we hear the legal advice, we were there in all those regions. We were here when they came here. We're not taking decisions today. As we take decisions, they should not only be based on what the legal is presenting to us today. Very much political ramifications, and which we have acknowledged. Thanks.
I'll be short. Paragraph 24 is the crux for me. And we have not pursued that as a committee. So maybe that's where we must now turn left or right into that avenue and call, the chairperson Cyril Ramaphosa and Leon Wessels and Ruth Meyer and all those who are still alive to tell us why they did this and whether it was a mistake and whether it was a political decision at the time. We have heard everything in terms of Sepedi, Sesotho, Salavoa, and we know that. But we cannot take that decision. If it was a mistake or unclear, let's find out why they did that, and then we can rectify it. That's the only other solution if we want to pursue this matter. If we do not want to pursue it, and, if I look at my caucus, the Sepedi people are in the majority, so they go full blast for Sepedi. So there's nothing I can do about it. In other caucuses, Sesotho Salaboa is maybe in the majority, so people on the ground want that. And if you listen to all the evidence, maybe Sesotho Salaboa's case is stronger than the Sepedi case. If I was a judge, I would have probably ruled in their favor. But I luckily I'm not a judge here. But let's either do that or what Honorable Steve Swart suggested, / Sesotho Salaboa / Sepedi.
Yeah. First of all, although it is not stated expressly like that in the legal opinion, I think the Honorable Ambrosini is correct to say that the conclusion from the legal opinion is, or could be from our side as well, that the Constitution gives and it takes. So it is for the National Assembly, basically, or for Parliament, as such, basically, sorry for that, to decide, are we amend or not amend the Constitution. Secondly, the constitutional principle relevant here, in my view, is definitely not conclusive at all on the matter. It is a broad principle, and in any event, as far as I can recall, I don't know what the maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think the constitutional principles really have any status anymore. And the Constitutional Court has expressed itself on that matter. Thirdly, with regard to the matter of the Honorable Swart indicates, he's not Swartz, by the way, Swart, indicates that, the legal opinion should actually center around the matter of an error in translation, so if I understood him correctly. But clearly there's also, I think that would be a bit problematic because one can't really conclude that there has been an error in translation because the other point that... the other point that has been made is that maybe it was indeed a political decision at the time or a compromise of some sorts. So I can't see how we, could really, our legal opinion around the error, possible error in translation or whatever could be of much assistance. And therefore, the Honorable Kurunov is actually right in that sense to say that if we really want to pursue the matter further, we must first get the clarity as to the evidence of what exactly happened. Was it a political compromise, or what exactly was the position, or was it perhaps an error. And the only way to do that is you know, to go along that kind of route if we really want to do it, the one that he has, you know, proposed. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I agree. We're not deciding here. We're not deliberating. But I think we're trying to achieve clarity on what are the options from a legal viewpoint, and against that, what's our way forward. So I'm going to speak just for to try to contribute to the clarity of legal options. The first issue is interpreting the constitutional intention. What did they mean? They clearly said cat. Did they mean to say dog? Given the situation, it may have happened that they used the wrong word, meaning something different. And we have gone beyond the word to look at factual evidence. I would submit that the type of different translation that the Honorable Swart was referring to is contemporaneous evidence that at the time some people felt that the word used was wrong and that it did not reflect the intention, and they took it upon themselves to correct what they thought was a mistake in the translations. We heard the chap, the correspondence is saying, said it's an error and that's why I translated. So that mistranslation, if anything, it's evident of what was the understanding of the constitutional intention, at least in a segment of the relevant participants at the time. The Constitution is written in English and translated in other languages. The English is the official text, the one that has been signed. So it's not a matter of having a constitution in one language saying one thing and a constitution the other one saying another thing. It's a lack of translation. It's a mistranslation. The only relevance of the mistranslation, of the improper translation, is whether or not that is vested a right. Constitutionally it hasn't. Politically it may have, within the spirit of the Constitution. So we have two options here, three options, if we were to deliberate, when we deliberate. The first one is to collect all the evidence, and this is the courageous option. And basically, as a committee, Constitutional Review Committee, having conducted the evidence, issue a resolution that the Constitution has been incorrectly written and the original interpretation, the correct interpretation, is that where it says A, it means B. That doesn't have the status of a legal decision by the Constitutional Court, but it will go a long way in paving a decision from the Constitutional Court. The Constitutional Court would take cognizance and may reach the same conclusion. The second is to recommend the amendment of the Constitution in either changing the two languages, which will remain 11, and that's politically difficult because there is the issue of demoting an official language to becoming no longer an official language, or increasing the number of official languages from 11 to 12, which is even more politically difficult because there are lots of languages out there which too would wish to be official languages and would like to be upgraded. And compared to Sepedi, they might have an even larger constituency, and they will say, why not? They get in by virtual mistake. So if you've got 12, which they're 13, 14, 15, for instance, the Indian languages was one of the issues raised at the time. So these are the options I see, and then there is the option of just doing nothing, which might be the easier option politically, but these are the options as I see them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've been covered by most of the speakers, but what I want to say is we must be very careful not to divide our people down there. Whatever decision we're going to take, we must make sure that it will put the two people, the two groups together. The Sepedi dialect-speaking people and the other dialect-speaking people, because truly speaking, Sepedi is not a language, it's a dialect. Even if they have changed that in the constitution, but the books down there that they were using, that they are still using at the moment at school, it's not changed to Sepedi dialects. It's still written in all those. I don't know how I can put it, but what I want to say is that we must make sure that we don't divide our people. If we leave it like that, then the Sesotho Salobo speaking people are going to quarrel and they will fight. And if we delete Sepedi, we take it back to Sesotho Salobo, then the Sepedi people are going to kill people because they told us that they are ready to go to jail. So, yeah, that is what we have heard when we were having our public hearing. So my appeal is that our people must not be divided. Thank you.
Should just be told to speak closer. Chair, as we indicated last time, we need the wisdom of Solomon in dealing with this. And maybe we could ask the legal advisor to look into and I think the issue of obtaining evidence is something to ascertain what was the intention at that time. At the moment, as I see it, both languages are in the Constitution. They're both there in different translations. And the one is in the English, the Sepedi is in the English, and the other one is referred to in the other translations. Now, the definitive section that says the English translation is definitive obviously creates a problem, but to me, those other languages are still there. Sesotho, Salobowa is in the other translations. And I would like to maybe suggest that we ask the legal advisor at some stage, after we've heard evidence or something, to look at what would be the implications if one was to put in, as was suggested by myself and I think Mr. Gaum previously, Advocate Gaum, where you have Sepedi stroke Sesotho Salobowa, that you're indicating in the English text what is contained in the other text as well. So you're not given an additional right, but you're purely reflecting what is in the different translations, and you're indicating what is in the English translation as to what was in the interim constitution as well. That is something that we could find out what is the legal, what would be the legal implications of that. You're not adding another language. You're purely indicating what is already in the different translations of the constitution.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to make my comments based on the fact that I come from the linguistic world and I was a member of the Pan-South African Language Board, where we have dealt with many of these kinds of issues. I have great sympathy for the proposal made by Honourable Swart, because I think that is a way to perhaps compromise the whole issue, because it is extremely difficult once a language community has obtained a specific language status that, to take it away, as the Honourable Member next to me said, it can have serious consequences. However, my question would be, if one would consider a compromise proposal, that the slash would indicate that it is Sesotho Salobowa versus Sepedi, it is either or, whereas there are all the other dialects which fall within Sesotho Salobowa, so how would that affect their status? So we're actually now elevating the one dialect above the other. So that could, and I think Honourable Ambrosini has also referred to that could perhaps open the door for others to ask the same way. But perhaps one should look at a more creative way of indicating that it is Sesotho Salobowa including Sepedi and not slash. That's just my comment, just to stay away from the fact that people will be offended.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I think I would agree with the notion of the wisdom of Solomon. But also, when we came back from public hearings, we said, let's have a roadmap. We've got the legal opinion. What is our next step so that we don't deal with this thing until 2014? We've heard what the people said there. We've had them here in Parliament. And the wisdom of Solomon is to take what has happened and take the views of the people that they have given us. And we are grappling with we're grappling with moving forward in taking a decision, and a decision that would still hold the status of Parliament. The people, we made them to believe that, put your ideas, let's listen to you. And we've had whatever, threats and whatever. But in the option of not doing anything, I don't think that will be held at high esteem by any group. Two, if we say stroke, I won't agree that the stroke is not adding anything. It is adding. Because whether the books are still in Northern Sotho, but officially saying Sepedi, the written books and the official language in schools and or universities, that's where it will say, no, that's not Sepedi. It will not be a slash. Learners will know what language are they learning. So it, to me, if we say stretch, will be confusing schools and universities, and or will also confuse the interpreters. We use interpretation here in courts and in parliament. So a person that interprets will choose the language that once want. Whether I interpret in or I interpret in Tibet. So we'll be creating another problem of why indecisive. So I think the sooner we either if maybe let's say today we have this legal opinion, which at the end gives us this right of taking this decision to the parliament. Looking at all the implications of option one or option two or option three or whatever it is, so we need to move forward. What is our roadmap? What is the next step that will help us to reach a decision? Thanks.
Can I give to the legal advice? I wanted to say something, and then I'll come back to you.
Reply to what I'm saying as well.
Okay, can you then give Honorable Sinin and the legal advisor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So it's got the benefit of also replying to me. See, I couldn't believe that it may happen that I agree with you, my sister. Not
I also agreed with you.
You know, strange things do happen. Now, yeah, that's why we can't agree. But the... as appealing as it is, the SWAT argument, I don't think can be one of our options. And it is appealing. Put a stroke, reprint everything with a stroke. We are not, we don't need to amend the Constitution. We make a textual correction. But all this discussion, the facts before us, we're dealing with two different things. They're two different animals. And the one can discuss whether one is a language, the other one is a dialect to the language, but whatever the status between the two of them, or the one deriving from the other, the one being more important than the other, there is common cause that they are different. One cannot be confused for the other. And in the difference, the process, the problem lies. So one is a dog, the other one is a cat. And the problem with the chimera, which solves all the problems, that the chimera happens not to exist. So we can't do that. There is one constitution which has made one decision. The translation doesn't have status. The translation is erroneous. These are the legal facts of the matter. If we are not happy with the facts, we need to correct them, either by saying that the word in the constitution is erroneous because it doesn't reflect intention, or by amending the constitution to change the one for the other, or to increase the number of official languages to 12. I don't think that there is a fourth option along the lines that the Honorable Swart is suggesting, as appealing as this option is politically.
Okay, can you take then Advocate Kwame and then the legal advice?
Yes, I think there is another option that's been put on the table that we shouldn't lose sight of, and that is the one that the Honorable Member has mentioned, and that is to say Sesotho Salabora, including Saperi, for instance. But, you know, so it would be Sesotho Salabora, in brackets, for example, including Saperi. But obviously that would now clearly state then that we sort of see Saperi as a dialect of Sesotho Salabora, which may have its own ramifications. But I just wanted to say that is the other option that has been put on the table that is more, that would maybe, if we come to the conclusion that that Sesotho Salabora is actually the overarching language, having a number of dialects, including Saperi, that would be the correct, that could be a way of, putting it without now saying that it is a dialect. But maybe that then would be a better option than the / option, because I do agree that would actually add something. And instead of only trying to say this is two names for the same thing, it would actually add another, even if we don't call it the 12th language, it might indeed add another language, making it 12 official languages, although we don't add it as number 12. It would be there. So there would be two languages that we would have to cater for in terms of official languages.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, many of the responses from the Honourable Members are more regarding the policy. I'm just going to comment on aspects of the legal opinion that are relevant. Firstly, when the Constitution was drafted, Section 6, it had to comply with the constitutional principles, and Principle 11 was relevant. Now that the Constitution has been certified, that principle is no longer applicable. The Constitution is a final document, and it doesn't have to comply with anything else. So in making any further decisions regarding the language, it's basically a policy decision. There's no rights or anything else that has to be complied with. Regarding the error in translation, the English text is the official text, and therefore we use the English text. Regarding the fact that the feelings of the people who speak Saperi and Sesotho Salabora, obviously the members are far more well-versed with these issues as to what the situation on the ground. From a legal perspective, what I want to emphasize is there's no right or there's no way to compel Parliament to make their language official, because you would have situations where other groups would come using this and saying they would also want their language to be made official. If Parliament decides to make a policy decision, then that's fine, but from a legal perspective, they can't compel Parliament to do that. Basically, it is up to Parliament, and the process that they would use is determined in the Constitution. Once an amendment is effected, it becomes part of the Constitution, and those who speak Saperi cannot argue that their rights have been violated if their languages
language is no longer having official status if the correct processes are followed. So, yeah.
I think, Chairperson, if it were not for the fact that this confusion that has been created by the manner in which the various constitutions have designated the language, I think we would not be having this problem. If the interim constitution said Sesotho sa Leboa and the final constitution said the same, we didn't have that problem. But now the English, and which is the official version of the constitution, and the Zulu version, they state that Sepedi is the official language, while others say Sesotho sa Leboa. Now, it becomes relevant, therefore, for us as this committee to understand what went wrong, if anything went wrong. Why is it that there is this discrepancy? And I want to support the Korenhof's suggestion that maybe let's call on those who are in charge of the constitution-making process, Ramaphosa, to come and throw some light on this, because this is very important. As has been said, you might think when we are here far away from the ground, this doesn't mean much, because in essence the constitution does also say that as the legal opinion indicates, people are free to use their own languages. If you want to speak Sesotho sa Leboa, you have a right to do that, even though the constitution said the official language is Sepedi. But that is important. People want to see it in writing that my language is being recognized. So it's important, therefore, I think I want to support that suggestion that before we come to a decision, we need to understand exactly what happened in the constitution-making process. At the same time, we need to be conscious of the fact that there are other situations similar to this one, like in the Eastern Cape. We are not all closer down there. And if people want to become shivers, they could take this matter up. It says Amabondo, Amabhaca, Amathembu, Amaxhosa, and all of those people. So whatever decision we take, we must take into account that we want to answer even possible questions that may emanate from such other quarters. But the constitution, it seems to me, indeed, it has to take a stand. But the problem is stand is confused. It says Sesotho sa Leboa, and then it says Sepedi. But at the same time, it does state, as I say, repeating myself, that everyone has a right to speak the language of their choice, whether it is the official language or not. But people, they want the recognition properly, like everybody else. So that's my comment.
That in addition to the, you know, people like Ramaphosa and so on, we should perhaps just find out whether, because there were subcommittees obviously and so on, you know. One was dealing with language, for instance. They would possibly even be in a better position, so maybe we could just find out who those people were and who we can get hold of as far as that is concerned. So that we don't have people here who can't actually help us because they were looking at the broad picture. We can have them as well, but I mean, you know, they were not necessarily grappling with that specific issue. Just note that.
Okay, honourable members, I think we've paved the way for what, as the honourable member said, for us to look back what happened, and the input of all the people on the ground, the input of the legal advisor, and the way going forward. As the honorable, my co-chairperson have said, perhaps you need to call all those people, and honorable Swant, and see what...
can you hear the drums, chairperson? The Sepedi people are here.
Oh. I think we... I think, honourable members, when we had public hearings with the chiefs and the professors, there was one somebody who said he was involved in the translation from the interim constitution to the final. I think we also need to recall that person back again to fairly to come and explain really his position, as he was at some stage intimidated at that meeting. Honourable members, I think this will be the way forward on this issue. We'll wrap it up here for today. And then I think the Secretary will make the necessary arrangements that we invite all those mentioned, and then we'll see in the if we can have that meeting in the next two or three meetings that we'll have, depending on the time we have and the program of Parliament. Honourable members, while she was still correcting, can we then move to the next issue of the our annual report? Oh, perhaps can we finalise the name of the people that we want to invite, so that everybody is on par. We the Honourable my chief whip is of oh, no, chief co-chair proposed that
yes.
We invited the Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, the chair of the National Assembly, Vessel, John Vessels, who else?
Hussein Mohammed, I think he's somewhere in one of the departments.
Okay.
And I want to check with you. Is it possible that even those chiefs can be present so that they can listen to the decision that they... I don't know. I'm just asking.
No. They can be part of the public, but they had their chance to say their say. I don't disagree. They can come. Committees are open for the public. They can come, but they must not be part and parcel of the discussion.
That is what I was saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Honourable Bloom, I fully agree with you. We said there are three people, Mr. Ramaphosa, Vessels, and Hussein. Who else?
Just a mixture person.
Yes.
Can we, like for instance, Mr. Ramaphosa, we're up there, ne? And then let's name, like for instance, there's a suggestion of the subcommittee, maybe language, or subcommittee of the constitution, translators, I don't know, so that we, yeah, thanks. Attach names and positions, maybe, so that we'll clear in terms of who will be there, thanks.
Example, I have Leon Vessels' number. Yeah, it can be called, you know, and just ask them, you know, who or where can we find the names of the people who dealt with this matter directly in the subcommittee. You know? So I think that should be done, so that we don't call them here and then they say, we can't recall. Call them beforehand and ask them, you know, would you be able to assist in this matter, or are they? Can you give us the other names of people who are directly involved, so that they can testify?
Thanks. Can you then, in principle, agree that all those were involved, they say key people in translation, whatever, let's get the names, as the Honourable Guam suggests, that you can give us names of those people, and then we get a few of those people, and then we invite them to a meeting. Is that agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you then move the adoption of the our annual report? I think members have had that report for some time. We discussed it at some stage, but we did not adopt it. When it wasn't adopted at some stage, there were some people were absent, some were present, and that was the cause, I think. It was not adopted.
On page 4, Mr. Kuernoff is not yet demoted to the NCOP. He's still in the National Assembly.
He's still in the House.
So it's on page 4.
Yes.
It's
or he's not about to get to go on to pension.
Chairperson, I was present at that public hearing in I even have some of that fruit that he took from the tree in my hand. With a specific smell. They call it amarula. Yeah.
Is that all you remember?
Well, during the hearing, that hang in the air.
And we're going on page by page.
Anyone else who believes that they should have been hated and haven't been absent?
Now, in other words, Chairperson, I would propose that maybe you lead us page by page so that we don't move to and fro. Thank you.
I will propose that we put this what the report, and I will propose that we adopt it, not go page by page.
You were correcting just now.
The report has been before us before.
Mm.
And then there were certain omissions that were identified last time. Mm. Now the secretary was required to go and correct that. Now we expect the members to have had a look, especially at those mistakes that were identified last time. Mm. And two members that were identified. Two mistakes which have been corrected, calling off NTP. Is there anyone else who has any issue? So, calling off proposed amendment, I mean adoption of the report as amended. Who seconded? Everyone else is seconded. Cope. What is that? Which one?
The real cope.
Which one?
Which is the real one?
Okay, thank you, honorable members. I think our meeting on the 17th of June has been postponed because on the 16th is the youth day. We'll be in our constituencies. We can't come back and forth the 17th again. So our meeting on the 17th has been postponed until further notice. We'll be informed of the a new meeting as the parliament program chops and changes from time to time.
Mm.
And can we thank all members for attending. We have finished our business before 10, and I think if we can keep on this spirit and vigor, and I think can be able to deal with all our meetings. The meeting stands at 10.
Amanda, guys.
Amanda.
Yeah? Oh,
that's
that one. For us, we're not there.